we present the news quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the news quiz. We start with something heard on Radio 5 Live this week, read by Zeb Soans.
Aaron Ramsey will miss Wales's game against the Republic of Ireland tomorrow night as his wife is giving birth to twins. Full commentary of the event is on BBC 5 Live.
Our thanks to Jim Hibbert in Brighton for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Helen Lewis and Neil Delamere. And opposite them, on my left, Felicity Ward and Susan Kalman. Helen, guess who's not coming to dinner?
Oh, this is a sad Brexit story, which is that Theresa May went over to Brussels for the summit, and she got 15 minutes before dinner to talk about how great everything is going over here, and then they booted her out so that they could have turbotin beer and pan-fried mushrooms. And I'm presuming after that she did what I always do whenever I go to Brussels, which is get confused about the strength of that delicious fruity beer, stagger home shouting at pedestrians, and then have a kebab. I mean, that fits with the picture of Theresa May that I already have. I think we'd all agree. But I'm really worried because we record this on a Thursday night and it goes out at the weekend, and I think she's going to crack it, you know? I really think by the time this goes out, it's probably all going to be over. All of this is going to be terribly, terribly obsolete. I mean, it looks, I admit, on the surface, like everything is going really terribly. The EU leaders cancelled their summit in November because they said we hadn't made enough progress. We still haven't worked out... No one knows what a backstop is. Everyone thinks it's something to do with rounders, but is now too afraid to ask because it's been too long. It's just embarrassing. And basically, the plan is that they will solve the Northern Irish border issue by asking for more time. And I just think she thinks there's going to be a solution involving zeppelins or drones or possibly a time machine. She can go back and reunify the continent, stop it drifting off. That might be her best option. But that's where we are now. Basically, she just wants more time and then it'll definitely all be sorted.
How's the whole sort of backstop thing looking, Neil? Presumably you're completely on board.
Absolutely, completely on board. But I'm glad that people are now realising that it's quite a complicated situation. The border, like, I'm sick of these politicians going, oh, the border is not complicated. Boris Johnson, that half man, half golden retriever that he is. It's just so frustrating. The border isn't that complicated. The border goes down the centre of certain roads in Ireland. To the extent if you're driving in one direction, you're in Northern Ireland, and the other direction, you're in the Republic. That is a complicated situation. If you have to drive into another country to overtake a car... that is a complicated situation. Get your passport out, Mary. We're going to burn this fella on the outside. Situation, isn't it? And you won't be able to even weave in and out of traffic on that road either, because if you do, you look at your mobile phone and there'll be 45 text messages on it. Welcome to Vodafone UK, welcome to Vodafone Ireland, welcome to Vodafone UK, welcome to Vodafone Ireland. See, the worry is divergence. There are houses that straddle the border. I was in County Fermanagh. My friend said the front of that house is in the Republic and the back is in Northern Ireland. Like, so what happens if the laws diverge after Brexit? What happens if euthanasia is legal in one jurisdiction and not in the other jurisdiction? Grandad, come down for your dinner. I'm fine where I am.
I'm going to say something positive about Brexit. So I'm going to say maybe Brexit is a good idea. The problem is that having a good idea doesn't mean you can implement that idea. And that, to me, is the issue. It's like, I'd really like to be Batman, but I've not worked out how to do it yet. I did feel sorry for her because they all went to the pub and there was photos of them all coming out the pub and poor Theresa wasn't invited. And I've been that person, not being invited to the pub. I mean, not because I'm destroying the United Kingdom, but just because I'm a nasty drunk.
Now, of course, you're an Australian country known for diplomatic clout and ability. Where are we going wrong, Felicity?
Oh, look.
If we are.
If you are. No, you're doing a great job. Brexit feels like we've been waiting for a sneeze to come on for 2 years. You know, where you're talking, you think it's fine, and then you, like, Theresa May goes to Brussels, and you're like, oh, no, here it comes. No, it's here. Oh, no, we've got an extension period. Okay. And that, it just feels like it's never going to happen.
I will defend Theresa May on one thing and one thing only to the death.
Her politics.
And that's all we've got time for.
Our Dan
dancing. She was trying to join in. The rhythm takes us all in very different ways.
Yeah.
And she was letting herself go. And you know what? It's not that easy to be a woman on television trying to have a dance.
So when Theresa May does Strictly next year, what advice do you have for her?
I think she should just be the woman that she is for the British public, and I'm sure she'll get all the way to Blackpool, and I look forward to an ex-Conservative Prime Minister dancing in Blackpool. I'm sure that will go down tremendously well.
She probably won't even dance. She'll just go, I'm not going to dance, but vote for me, otherwise you'll get Jeremy Corbyn dancing.
These are the very latest developments in the Brexit negotiations, and it seems Theresa May can envisage the transition period being extended for what she described as a matter of months. If the transition can be extended, then who's to say it can't last forever? It'll be like Narnia, where it's always winter but never Christmas, and Mr. Tunnus is Dominic Raab, but with the legs of a goat. Ruling out a second Brexit referendum, the Prime Minister said the people voted and this government will deliver on it. Though, of course, that delivery will now be so severely delayed that we will all receive a free garlic bread. Theresa May has said she's willing to extend the transition period, and I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say, yes, please, why stop the party? I don't want to take my Brexit decorations down yet. I'm still waiting for the bit where we all gather round a bendy banana and sing No Surrender before bashing a piñata shaped like Sakir Starmer QC. 2 points to Helen. Neil, have a listen to this.
Mr. David, order! Order! Miss Order! 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 Order!
Neil, whose house might have a dodgy speaker system?
This is this report, Dame Laura Cox's report, into harassment and bullying in the Houses of Parliament. And basically, it's 155 pages long, and it said that the system for dealing with these complaints, it's not fit for purpose, and that the leadership should go. Some MPs, like the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry, and she's been backed up by Dame Margaret Beckett, have called on John Burko, the Speaker, to stay because he has lots of experience and he can guide the House through the turbulent times ahead. That's pretty much the story. The logic of this, I'm struggling with the logic of this because either it is right for him to go or it isn't right for him to go. He shouldn't hang on for the sake of Brexit. Like, he's not the only one who can do the job. He's not the super vet. Like, there are, you know, there's 650 MPs. Other people can do this, you know. Pick somebody else. They can read up on the procedure if they need to pick somebody else. Like, they're not going to go into the House of Commons and just not know what's going on. Or is it whoever has the conch speaks? I mean, I think they're going to know. So I don't necessarily buy the logic behind it. But is that the right answer to the question, or was that,
No, that is the right answer to the question. I didn't know if you'd reached a full stop or it was the first dot in the parentheses. So, but you... That you've got your points are safe. You're not going home empty-handed. If you want to speak more, you can. If you want to fold your arms and relax, you can also do that.
I'm going
to
go for the speedboat, Jim. I'm going to go for the speed.
This idea of sort of continuity and people saying, you all saying, being the leader of the House of Commons, anyone could rock up and do it. But I, you know, sitting in the middle of a load of people just sort of talking, is actually it's actually very difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to forget that. Helen, have you been working in or near Westminster in recent weeks and days?
No, I try and avoid it because it's so weird. honestly, it is. I don't know if you've ever been in Parliament, but all of the galleries around it make it feel like a kind of giant municipal swimming pool. And you're all ranged around the side, except obviously it's much worse than a municipal swimming pool.
Does it smell of chlorine? What are they trying to hide, do you think?
But the noise that comes out of it is really extraordinary, and I just think anybody who hasn't ever kind of been and watched it, you know, any Prime Minister or any leader of the opposition at Prime Minister's Questions has to kind of face a kind of wall of noise that I guess you only otherwise get maybe like a football stadium. But imagine kind of going out and trying to make quite a boring statement about police statistics, like in a Millwall game. That's basically how we conduct all of our politics.
I think football chanting would make it much more interesting. You're shit, and you know you are. Like that.
Yeah, but they kind of like they translate that into kind of 19th century speak, which comes out as kind of. But kind of, the intention is very much the same.
Theresa May got asked about the findings of the report, and she said, It's very worrying. And the tricky thing is, it's good to have her support, but it's tricky to know what worrying is, relatively speaking, for Theresa May. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is dancing to ABBA at a conference and 5 is running through wheat fields and then 10 is leaving the EU. It's just hard to gauge, you know?
This is a report into bullying in Parliament, which will come as a stern warning to MPs, reminding them that they're only supposed to destroy the lives of people who are not on the premises. Speaker John Bercow has been accused of bullying and been called upon to stand down, at which point one assumes he'll follow the example of all the greatest British bullies and start his own House of Commons on Amazon Prime. I'm not entirely familiar with John Bercow's era. My wife and I have got through the House of Commons DVD box set. We're still working our way through Betty Boothroyd. just started the debates on Maastricht, and I reckon that's probably the last we'll be hearing of that. Dame Laura Cox said that Parliament needed to press the reset button, which is achieved by finding a tiny hole in the back of Dennis Skinner and pushing a straightened paperclip into it. 2 points to Neil. Felicity, why might there soon be 4,000 holes in Blackpool, Lancashire?
Oh, so there is some fracking going on. It is when companies blast water into shale to extract oil and natural gas, and they do it in very safe places like heritage sites and residential areas. They stopped 7 years ago. They stopped fracking and they put a ban on it because they had minor earthquakes in the areas. But they haven't had an earthquake for like 7 years, so they've decided it's safe again. And you know what a minor earthquake is to me? It's, have you ever had an old family dog and they have toddlers running around and the toddlers go straight for the tail and the ears, and there's only so long the old dog can endure it, and then eventually they issue a warning growl. Just a little low growl, and that is what a minor earthquake is. It's just Mother Nature saying, I'm on my last nerve here. So I would think very carefully about what you do next.
I think it's a Brexiteer's plan. This is my theory, right? Because, no, it all comes back to Brexit, because there's about 9,000-10,000 wind turbines in the UK already, right? So if you burn more gas, sea levels rise, what's a wind turbine become then? A propeller. Right? That's what's going to happen. Sea levels are going to rise, and you're going to just slip away from Europe in the middle of the night. We're only going to know in Ireland when we look out the window in Dublin and see France. That's what's going to happen.
This is the restarting of fracking at a site near Blackpool for the first time since 2011, following the defeat of a legal challenge brought by anti-fracking protesters. Last time I was in Blackpool, I was thinking, sure, this log flume is brilliant, but what would really take it to the next level would be the ever-present chance of an earthquake. Whatever you do, don't try fracking at home. I had a go in the garden, and you never forget the image of a rabbit on fire. 2 points to Felicity. Susan, what's caused a very undiplomatic incident?
Well, there are two parts to this story. One part of it is obviously extremely horrific. It's the alleged murder of US-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which is something that's stunned and revolted, I think, most of the world. Apparently, it happened inside the Saudi embassy in Turkey. And for even the most sceptical, I think, of people, there is evidence that the Saudi regime has been complicit in this. The problem is that Donald Trump isn't most people, and that really is the issue that we're faced with. Donald Trump is a man who would deny his own existence if it helped him. He's a man who's happy to give people the benefit of the doubt as long as that person is a man, and, well, that's it. I'm not going to say allegedly about anything to do with this, because it happened. This is, you know, sometimes when we deal with the Russia stories, I'm a little bit more worried, because it seems to be, you know, if you just pop to Salisbury for a bit, something might happen to you. Saudi Arabia, I'm never going to go to Saudi Arabia. They don't like my kind of people there. They don't like the Scottish. And... most people think this is happening. Even Liam Fox has dropped out of a conference. This has clearly happened, but Donald Trump is more than happy to just let it all kind of slide until there's some real evidence. And they're just kind of denying any of it really happened until they know the proof.
the kind of only grim amusement you can get from it is I wish that people could pin them down on what their explanation, alternative explanation is for what they think happened, right? So Donald Trump said it might have been rogue killers. Mm. So someone else might have broken into the Saudi embassy in Istanbul and killed a journalist. That's really the line that you're pushing. Exactly the same with the Skripal poisoning, where Russia went, these guys who are on sequentially numbered passports were simply looking at the Salisbury Cathedral spire. We've entered this weird new era where states now just not only carry out these kind of extrajudicial killings, but kind of just taunt everybody about them. That's the really scary thing I find about it.
You must be happy to be British this week, though, in fairness, because Saudi secret agents are clearly involved in the disappearance of a respected journalist, and your secret agents are lovingly carrying a baby around in a papoose. See that? Oh, yeah. That's great. I agree with Susan, though. Like, Donald Trump, he defies all analysis. The best piece of analysis I've ever seen, I got into a taxi in West Belfast after he was elected, and the taxi driver said to me, God, America is so partisan now, isn't it? All the Republicans on one side and all the Democrats on the other. I couldn't live in a place that divided.
This is the storm of protests surrounding Saudi Arabia following the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, although the US maintain we should treat the Saudis as innocent until proven guilty, while the British government say we should treat them as innocent until we cannot sell them any more arms. Donald Trump said this could all be the work of rogue killers, although personally I think once you become a killer, you've stopped being a rogue and your behaviour frankly borders on the actively naughty. It certainly makes our boring, non-murdering royal family look a bit tame. Although the new royal baby will be seventh in line to the throne, which I personally hope they take as a challenge. Points to Susan, and at the end of round one, the scores are Helen and Neil have 4, and so too do Felicity and Susan. We start round two with something seen on the Brighton Argus Facebook page.
A squirrel trapped in a Brighton fabric shop for 24 hours has now been freed. The owner of the shop is asking that people stop putting their nuts through her letterbox.
Thanks to Paul Ockenden from Shoreham-by-Sea for sending us that. Helen, which country has gone to pot?
Oh, this will be Canada, which is now legalised recreational cannabis. I like this story because there was one of those inevitable... You know, like when new Harry Potter comes out and everybody queues up for it? Well, that's exactly what they did with the first legal pot. And there was a queue in Newfoundland. Someone said, I want to be the first person to buy pot at midnight. And you think, well, that is kind of the time that you want to buy pot, fair enough. But the guy was called Ian Power, and his quote was amazing. It was, it has been my dream to be the first person to buy the first legal gram of cannabis in Canada, and here I finally am. And I thought, isn't that lovely to have goals in life? That is the last goal you will ever have, Ian Power, apart from kind of more hobnobs. But there was an incredible statistic, which was that half of people in Canada believe that taking cannabis will not affect how well they drive. A number which will obviously go down as those people die. So check back in about 5 years.
As the govern, 4 hours, queued for the last Harry Potter. A queued in the rain for the Harry Potter book. You're dressed up.
Did you? Oh dear, what else? The little Quidditch thing. The snitch.
The golden snitch.
The golden snitch.
Not a practical costume.
That is kind of what Fergie dressed up at the royal wedding as. Did you not see the hat?
It did look like a snitch. It did. Anyway, I'm not the best person to speak about these things because I don't like drugs. I don't need anything artificial to make me feel hungry and depressed.
This is the latest news from Canada, where Justin Trudeau's government have legalised the recreational use of cannabis. This hit the front pages in Canada, knocking the tale of a man in Toronto who bought a new tumble dryer onto pages 2 to 17. I've always steered clear of this stuff. My mother made me promise when I was very young that if I didn't touch drink or drugs until I was 21, she'd let me start dealing on her patch. 2 points to her. Neil, who's mooning themselves?
Oh, yes, this is a Chinese city, Chengdu. They're building an artificial moon. So they're going to launch it into space, and it's going to be 8 times brighter than the real moon. And they hope that it's going to boost tourism and it's going to save on streetlights. This is the theory, which begs the question, how expensive is electricity in China? Interesting fact about the artificial moon in China. When it's in orbit, it will be the only man-made object that you can see from the Great Wall of China.
I think this is it, isn't it? This is post-Brexit. This is the kind of thing we'll be able to do with nary a regard for health and safety or the idea that it might plummet out of the sky in a flaming kind of... Is it actually going to orbit?
It is, yeah.
I just... Because my vision of it was just, like, essentially quite a big kite.
It's a big mirror, basically.
Isn't that the plot of a James Bond film?
But we're building this for a while. The research has been going on for a while. How do you keep that secret? Like, what's that in the garage, Derek?
It's a barbecue.
Why is the garden pond gone tidal? Like, we don't know what effect it's going to create, kind of dusk all the time. So nobody knows what's going to happen with nocturnal animals. It's going to be badgers walking around with eye masks on. Just make it stop. Like, if you think pandas don't mate enough now, wait, you can't turn off the lights.
This is the news that China is to launch a fake moon into space, its latest cheeky jape after kidnapping the president of Interpol. It's one of those things that when you boil it down, you think, is it any more ridiculous than Six Music? 2 points to Neil. Felicity, have a listen to this. Little donkey, on the dust. Precious load. Been a long time, little donkey, through the winds of night. Don't you give up now, little donkey, Bethlehem's inside. Well, what's not to love about that? Felicity, who's a real pain in the ass?
There is, now, I read about this. It's basically, there's a big hill in Santorini, which sounds like it's in Italy. Santorini. It's not. It's in Greece. Found that out the hard way. Why is there tzatziki on my pizza? Anyway, so there's this... A big, beautiful hill in Santorini, and it's got lots of steps and it's very popular. They have a cable car and that only takes 6 people, and that will take you to the top of the hill. So you can get the cable car, you can either walk, or what they do is they put tourists on donkeys or mules and they charge tourists to do that. But the problem is that a lot of these tourists are coming straight off cruise ships, which are not known for their strict diet and exercise regime. You're trapped on a boat. It's like a 9-day wedding reception. Anyway, a living nightmare. So what's happening is these very relaxed cruise ship people are injuring the donkeys and the mules. So the government have tried to introduce and pass legislation that a donkey can't carry more than 15 stone or 20% of its own body weight, because otherwise it'll constitute for animal cruelty. Now, I think this is a great direction and a great start. I'm all for looking after the donkeys and the mules. But I think that we can go a step further, take the donkeys and the mules out of the equation altogether, right? So the people who are able-bodied, they have to walk up the stairs. That's it. People who are differently abled or elderly, they can take the cable car. Now, the cruise ship people, one word, catapult.
I just, for my holiday this year, went on a cruise and I would not have ridden a donkey. I would have walked up the hill or stayed in the buffet, which is... on our cruise, I did not go to Pisa, Florence, Rome or anywhere else because the buffet was quiet and I just spent a long time working my way through that buffet.
Yeah.
And it was the happiest I've ever been in my entire life, just eating... and eating and eating and eating and then sleeping for a couple of hours and then getting back up and eating again.
Could you not just moor a dinghy next to a Morrison's?
There's a couple of things in this story, right? The first thing is in Santorini. So Santorini's in Greece, so Greece needs the money from the tourists, right? Because Greece is broke.
That's right.
If you look at it, their debt is 175% of their GDP. 175 out of 100. That is a lot. If you got sunburned to 175% of your body, that's all of you and three quarters of somebody else. But that's it's going to be an awkward conversation, surely, at some point. So somebody gets off a cruise ship and goes up to the man who has the donkey or the woman who has the donkey, and the person looks at the person who got off the cruise ship and then looks back at the donkey and then looks, you're too fat for my donkey. So what's going to happen then? So I would suggest that if you know your donkey well enough, you could probably just judge it based on the exhalation of the donkey. The person gets onto the donkey goes, like that. You take the person off the donkey. Or you watch them, and when they get off the cruise liner, if the ship just pops up in the water...
It's very hard to tell with a donkey exhalation because their natural noise is,
That's true, yeah.
So if they're going, it might, you just might think they've got something in their throat.
You'd really have to know your donkey.
You
well.
Would need to
you
know
would.
Your donkey.
Yeah.
Okay, we see, I can't believe it, but we seem to have run out of time for this question. But I genuinely hope this has helped. This is the Greek government's introduction of a law targeted at tourists on Santorini, preventing those above a certain weight threshold from riding donkeys. If you're unfamiliar with what donkeys look like, just picture a horse that's recently lost custody of its children. Of course, in Santorini, the smashing of plates in a restaurant isn't traditional. It's just used to cover up the sound of farmhands shooting crippled donkeys long into the night. Still, you'd think if a donkey could bear the weight of a pregnant virgin, it should be able to carry a tech support worker from Bracknell in a Hawaiian shirt. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they would like to share? Felicity.
This is taken from the Dorset Daily Echo, sent in by Julia Jepson in Lee and Dr. Alex Glover in Dorchester. And Patricia Daubney. A man was taken to hospital after a crash involving a motorbike and a military tank this morning. The motorcyclist sustained a suspected fracture to his arm and leg and was taken to Poole Hospital. The driver of the warrior tank was uninjured.
Susan.
Martin Gies in Cardiff saw this advert in The Guardian. Looking to get erectile dysfunction treatments from the comfort and privacy of your own home? Available for a limited time and may be retracted without notice.
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Helen and Neil have 8, and so too do Felicity and Susan. Oh. Before we leave you, here is a job advert on a recruitment website seen by David Hammond in Wisbeach, Cambridgeshire.
Mortuary assistant needed at Queen Elizabeth Hospital, King's Lynn. The successful candidate must have good communication skills.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Helen Lewis, Neil Delamere, Felicity Ward and Susan Kalman. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news was read by me, Zeb Soames. The chair script was written by Madeline Brettingham, James Kettle and Benjamin Partridge, with additional material by Edward Easton and Mike Shepherd. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Studios production.